Right. Can you tell us who you are?
Yeah. Just speak into this, is it?
You don't even have to speak into it. Just speak.
Do I use Mr. or just plain Bernard Rees?
Just tell us who you are.
Bernard Rees.
There you are. Where are you from? Where, as a boy, where were you from?
Greenhill.
Aye, that's it.
Down by the cathedral.
And what was your birth date?
38/23.
Right. So, let me ask you.
2 months now, I'll be 94.
That's it. There we are. You've got lots of lovely stories. Why don't you tell us some about your memories as a little boy?
Yeah, well, I was a twin, see? Mm. But he died last Christmas, by the way. And one up, one down, nothing else. And in that house was my mother and father, I think it was my mother's grandmother, and Jackie and myself. 5 years later, because my sister was born. Mm. So there were 6 of us with a one up, one down. One bedroom, and no central heating and things like that, with the ice in the winter outside. Mm. We had ice in the inside and all. Yes. So sleep in bed, what we used to do, or at least what my mother used to do, we slept in a bed by the front window. Mm. They slept in a bed by the back window, and then they put a sort of cradle or cot for my sister, who was only 5. Mm. So you had the letter H.
Yeah.
Follow me. Well, of course, it's freezing sometimes, and I'm a very light sleeper. So she was about 5, we were 10 then, and I could hear, "Bernard, yes, what is it? I'm cold. Come in between me and Jackie," and that's the way they got warm, you know. Mm. "Yes, sir." And of course, there was automatic for us. You never asked what's for dinner. What was on the table, and you ate it. Mm. Because the money was so small,
yeah.
You know. So, and the other thing then, when the old lady died, there was no chapel of rest then. She was laid out under the table in the front window.
Yeah.
Because my father came up and said, "Put his hand on my shoulder and my brother. Don't be frightened now." Well, my daughter, she was laid out under the window. Mm. When we come home from school, we have our dinner, she's still laid out under the window. Mm. Never bothered, like, you know. Things like that, there was nothing. Another thing, we were lucky enough. We were a street of 6 houses. And we each had a public... what's the word I'm trying to think? Our own toilet. Mm-hmm. And across the road, there were 2 houses. And you had to go, not in the house, you had to go up an incline much of this here. Mm-hmm. And there was 2 toilets there. And that 2 toilets served 2 houses. So, say for an argument's sake, you lived in this one. And then they had to put a brush or some signal that it was in use.
Something was in there.
It was dreadful. Mm. Dreadful.
So, you said your house had a toilet?
We were a small street.
Yeah. What street was it?
Well, Emma Street was this main street where the girls' school is now.
Right.
And they all had names. Ann Street, we were Emma Street, Charles Street. But the other bottom of Emma Street was a place called William's Place. Held 6 houses, that's where we were.
Oh.
So each of our houses of the 6 had a toilet, outside, of course.
Outside.
The tap for water was outside.
Mm. Wasn't a tap inside?
No. Oh. I know, because in the winter, because we were grown up, of course, we served on the altar. Well, I ain't giving you that. My father would come home from work 6 in the morning, and he'd boil a big bowl of hot water for us to come down and have a wash. No heating system, no nothing at all. Mm. We only had gas for ages, and we never had a radio, nor a television. Mm. Gramophone we had for a long time.
Mm. And yet... coal fire, though.
Coal fire. Now, you see, there again, I can give an example of the coal fire. Our friend by there, my mother would be by there with a table. It had the usual black grate with the oven, door, cooker.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she was standing like this, doing something on the table. She wore a dress down to here. So that's how near she was to the fire. She turned and got, fire got cold, burnt her from the back down here up to her neck.
Oh, no.
Yes. So cramped were you, you know.
Yeah.
And, of course, my father, again, because we were 10 then, that's right. My mother, of course, had to lay on her stomach in the old singing and Swansea Hospital,
yeah.
Big ward with about 12 or 14 people in it, you know.
Yeah.
and she had a cage over there. Yes. With the closure.
Close,
but those are the sort of things, not like you got now then, you know. But we grew up anyway.
So what did you do for games?
For games?
Did you have time for games?
We made our own, really. If it was fine. In our street, there was my brother, two boys next door, and one boy in the fifth house down. And we sort of made ourselves a little football team. And we'd play Ann Street or Emmy Street boys on a dirt bank. That's all we had was dirt. And tennis ballers, a little bit. We never had a football. And our coach was a goalpost and all that business. Mm-hmm. But we played. Then in the summer, of course, we'd be out all day playing. But can you imagine how, from the birds, from the girls' school in Capistol Street, yeah, up on the top of Carmarthen Road, yeah, now come down the bottom to the Llanabellog Road, and my mother would ask me, just like, no problem, run down to Woolworths, and you dinner. Now that's where Argus is now.
Yeah.
Run down there and back. She wanted something in Woolworths.
Yeah.
And the lowest denomination coin was the halfpenny. Mm. But she wouldn't give a halfpenny, though. But I, at the same time, see, they were, to your perspective, learning, and our friend were there, they were drastic, but they were automatic to help you growing into it.
Everybody was doing,
you know, yeah. You could have a bag of sweets like that for a halfpenny.
Oh, yeah.
20 players, 11 pence halfpenny. Hmm. Could buy the old wood buns, 5 for 2 pence. No, not the smoking in interest, but that was the prices. A paper was a penny. So pro rata, I suppose, compared to what we've got today, they level up. But, and then we had, instance, of course, of being twins, we were close together till growing up. Then we went into the infant school then. Then there was standard one, standard two, or one. Anyway,
which school?
St. Joseph's, the right one that's opposite the cathedral.
Yeah.
Well, it's not now, they were dining rooms. When I made a little comment in the library for the children, I said, I'm in a good class now, about 20, I think they said 20, 25, 15 now class. Hmm. So it was all together, and I can see the nun now, they're going, 1, 2, putting you into the room. 50, Bernard was 50, into that. Jackie, 51, was going in that when he cried his eyes up because he was going from me, like, you know. Yeah. But 50 to a class we were then.
50.
Amazing.
Yeah, 50. Yeah. And as I say, we'd get up in the morning, we had porridge or whatever it was, come on, we wouldn't say, what's for dinner, ma'am? Just sit down, just put in front of you. Yeah. And you ate it, or you left it. Yeah.
What kind of things did they give you for dinner?
Well, they wasn't a gruel or things like that. You had the potatoes and a bit of beef or something like that. I used to have to go up to the slaughterhouse, which is down to Debatty Street.
I know, yeah.
And got three pennies of sweetbreads.
Mm-hmm.
And they were bringing home from him. And I used to stand over like this, waiting for him to be shot. And you'd see the pigs being going out of one big. Lovely for me, you know. See the men shaving the pigs down and putting them in a cold one then. But the sweetbreads were beautiful. No, we had good food, like, you know. But there was no option, put it that way.
Yeah.
But we,
so was your family quite small? Because didn't some people have lots and lots of children?
Oh, no. Our family, as I say, was my mother and father, mm, Jackie and myself and my sister.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Mm.
Right through.
And was that unusual?
Well, some did. Now, next door to us again, they only had two boys. They had three, two boys and a girl.
Mm.
But somebody up the road had 6 or 7, I don't
know.
But we only had the three of us.
Mm.
But it was a hard life, but it's a happy life.
Yeah.
Now, neighbours, for an example. My father worked 6-hour shifts in the Elbert tin works those days. 6 in the morning till 12 midday, 12 midday till 6 in the evening, 6 in the evening, midnight, midnight till 6 in the morning. When he was sitting, and the woman next door, she said the day before, there's the insurance money there. And if there's a penny change, the penny was on the table. And he, the husband, he wasn't working. The husband would come in the morning, get us up to bed for school, give us our breakfast, and then to go then. When he was 12 to 6, he'd come in with the dinners for us. Cut the story short. In the evening, then we had to wait till 6 or 12, we'd be in bed. And he'd be sitting there reading a book to my father, coming up as 12.
So where was your man?
Oh, he buried him by that time.
Oh, so your father managed with your children?
Yes. Well, and quite good, you know. Well, quite good because of the neighbours then, yes. See. When he was 12 in the night till 6 in the morning, before he could he'd gone at Apsley. The man would come in and sit down till about 1 o'clock. Yes, they're fast asleep now. And that was it, like, see. Mm. So it was very good. We enjoyed ourselves, put it that way. Mm. We were, you know, very firm, my parents were very firm. But then, of course, then I went on then. Now, I have to tell you, the headmaster at St. Joseph said to my mother about me, you're very clever, you've got a clever son there. I'd like to put him in the technical college on the hill, if you know where that is.
Yeah, Mount Pleasant. Oh, Mount Pleasant, no?
Yes, down past the old workhouse then, down Mount Pleasant.
That's right, yeah.
My mother, no, we left school for Friday, 4:30. We didn't come well impressed, Monday morning. Yeah. 7:30 till 4:30, 5 days a week, 7 and 6 a week. 6 months pocket money.
What was your job?
Making tomato handles, weighing baskets of nails for the crates that go into the thing. But I lost the chalk, see. But there we are. So then time went on, of course. Then I met my wife. Mm-hmm. Courted her, married her in 1947. So, of course, I lived with my mother and father for 12 months. And frankly, that was like hell.
That must have been, yeah.
Like hell. We got out into 2 rooms up in Middle Road. And I was out of the frying pan into the fire. 20 times worse.
Okay.
We were there. We went there in 1948. She died in 56. Never had a key to get in. Oh. Whatever we went, we'd knock the door for it to open it.
Were you in Swansea during the war?
No, I was called up. So I went to work then in the Brinkman Order after that. Anyway, now twins. Mm. I'm not boring you, I hope.
Of course not.
No.
The point, if you can remember, Dunkirk.
Yes.
Now, before Dunkirk, any man... Oh, woman, but any man could say, I want to go into the infantry, or I want to go into the cavalry, or I want to go into the artillery. But we lost so many men in Dunkirk that he swapped all that. Every man called up had to do 6 weeks infantry training in Brecon. Mm-hmm. In our case. Now, twins. My brother had his calling up on the 2nd of July, 1942, and he went. I got mine on the 16th of July, 1942. Consequently, when he had done his 6, I'd only done 4, and I can see him now, God rest his soul. I'm going, of course, the arm, he always did that. Injected him in the arm, 2 arms, and the arms, like I couldn't raise him. Then they give you a kit to put together.
Okay.
Frankly, but lucky for me, my brother was still there. So he put all my kit away, and I can see him now, and I was in bed, like this. I'm going on, Bernard, he said, Red Old Jack, I'll see you, I said. Yes, yeah, certainly, he said. Never saw him for 5 years.
Where was he?
Well, he fought in the Battle of Monte Cassino.
Really?
He fought in the Desert Rats. He had a terrible time. As a matter of fact, he wouldn't tell us when he was to come home, unless he had a drink or two, he'd tell you, you know. But,
Hello.
Right. Oh, Derek.
Hi, Derek.
All right. Ben, right?
All right, thank you.
That's the longest date. That's next Monday.
Right, well, thank you. I'll see you later. Right, I'll see you later, Derek. That's
in the pantry.
Right, oh, thank you.
So where were you?
Well, I tell you, I'm not ashamed of it. Mm. So when my 6 weeks was up, I went to Leicester for a fortnight. When I came back, I went to a place called Drimmen in Scotland. And I said, I don't admit it, I said to my father and mother, I don't want to go to Scotland. It would be all right, son, to be there, 17 miles outside Glasgow it was. I went there as a private in 1942, and I was still in that same unit as a staff sergeant in 1947.
Yeah.
5 years in the same place.
What were you doing there?
Well, I was in the ordnance in those days, mm-hmm. and we were receiving from the village station the old bombs, and we were building this nest to put them in there. Mm-hmm. And in the end, of course, my mother came down and my father to see us off at the first. And in the end, I said, "Now don't come down anymore. I'll see you in 3 months' time." And thank God, because and the same I was thought of, seeing my brother and thousands of others who fought for this. So I was demobbed then in 1947. I was there 2 years after the war ended.
Yeah.
And always came home, of course, by steam train then.
Yeah.
Now, if I left Glasgow at 5 o'clock on a Friday night, I'd go by steam train down to Euston, cross over to Paddington, catch the 9 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So from 5 o'clock Friday night until 1:15 Saturday afternoon, I was travelling. So I'd come home and I'd say to my mother, "Take my greatcoat off. I'm dying for a cup of tea, Mum." "Right, oh yes, okay." Now that went on and on. This particular day I came home, came in into the living room, I guess. We had two at the front room. And "Put a coat in the living in the front room," she said. "No, what a coat in the front room," I said. "Make me a cup of tea, please." Anyway, it went on. I'm not interested in the front room. "Go in." What was that? I went in, my brother was standing.
No.
Of course, I'm very emotional, see. I started crying, he was laughing. I followed my father and he followed my mother. My mother was very firm, my father was. But I hadn't seen him for 5 years.
Wow, amazing.
Well, he was quoting two instances for me, and they weren't to make believe because he fought on where the Germans were fighting him down in Monte Cassino.
Right.
And the latrines, he said, was just a pole across the trench. And there was three of them sitting on there. And it's like I'd be in between you, but they killed her, they killed him, and I was still sitting on the pole, he said.
Wow.
The next time, then another time, they shot the man next to him, and he dare not lift her head up, he was gone. He said, "Asleep next to a dead fella for 24 hours.
Mm.
Couldn't move." So he saw some sights like,
yeah,
but of course if I had a discussion, and I remember, this had nothing to do really with, I only go out on a Saturday night for a small glass of Guinness, and it's bigger in building yourself. And they were using language, and not the ordinary language. Till the end, I couldn't stand it. So I got up and I quietened the lounge, and "Ladies and gentlemen," I said, "I'm 93, and I said, I've never heard such disgusting language in all my life." And I said, and he was a big one, I said, "If he wants to sort me out in the toilet, that's his prerogative. But I said, I spent," and they didn't know that, actually. I said, "I spent 5 years in the army," and I was in the theatres of war. The only theatre I saw was Glasgow Empire to see the programme. But they didn't know that, see. And I said, "That's disgusting." And the other, his mate had his feet up on the table. "Oh, and by the way," I said, "I always thought a table was to eat in and the floor was the shoes. Evidently, with you, it's the other way around." And my two friends. Like this. So I came, but about 10 minutes after, the big fellow was coming. "He's coming over here," he said. "He's coming over here." He looked at me and he said, "I apologise," he said, "for everything. I'll accept an apology," he said, "but it shouldn't have been said in the first place." And I left it in. "Now that's the last time we'll do that," they said. But I've enjoyed my life. You know, I really have. And then, of course, to come up here and, well, then, talking about that, I moved 5 times. Well, we moved 5 times. I lived with my mother, as I told you. I lived in rooms. Then I lived down by the cathedral. Then I lived up Middle Road. And then I came up here. And we came down in slum clearance. And they said, "Well, if ever we build here, you'll be the first." Well, no, we've been up here. And you can see the size of the windows.
Yeah.
"And we can go back down there." No, I said to the wife, "I'm not a Victorian," I said. "But in my opinion, no."
Yeah.
"Except you, I don't know. Well, look at this, all this," I said. "And it's like a gypsy caravan before we came here." And we stopped it then.
Yeah.
But I had a good life then. My wife died, of course, 23 years ago, and that was.
Yeah. a long time.
Oh, 23 years, yeah.
How old is your boy now?
39. My boy, 69.
Yeah, 69, yeah.
And my grandson's 39.
Yeah, yeah. Have you just got the one son?
Oh, yeah. Well, when the son was born, after I was told it, it was that much where they used forceps to get him out. Mm. And and the wife had a terrible time, and the doctor said, that's the one and only.
Mm.
No more. So we only had one. My grandson got two, see?
Mm.
A boy and a girl.
What's your son's name?
Peter. My grandson is Damien. And I got a great-granddaughter, Phoebe, and a great-grandson, Nathaniel.
Wow.
So my cup is full.
Yes.
And of course, my last birthday, when I was 93, I fell down the back stairs, as you know.
Yeah.
And of course, I spent my birthday in hospital.
Mm.
I had 3 weeks in Morrison, 6 weeks in Cosina. So I thought, well, I got 2 months to go for it now, and I'm hoping that everything got it. I fell Sunday.
I know, you told me, down by there.
Down by there. But I'd want to say I fell, I tripped, I did.
Mm.
But I want to get out, see? But they won't, I feel all ready to get on the bus and go to town. But they won't let me go, are these people, didn't they? Without somebody with them, see?
Mm.
But the idea is good, I suppose.
Mm.
Now that fellow there, Derek,
yeah,
he'll take me now, I got to, not this way, today, next Wednesday, I got a doctor's appointment.
Mm.
He'll take me down.
Yeah.
In the bus.
Yeah.
Tuesday I had an appointment. My son took me down in the car. But the food, as I say, was plain.
Sorry about that. This is starts.
But talking about the water and the rationing,
mm.
When you had so much bacon or so much sausage, you know, you had to sort of, how the wives, well, a lot of them had plots, and they were digging up potatoes and cabbage and things like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at the man next door, he gave my mother and father some as well, you know.
Mm.
But just a piece of bacon and that,
mm.
couple of, plus two slices, and that was it.
Yeah.
How they lived. Well, a lot of bread was eaten, I can assure you, in the house those days.
Were you hungry?
The stomach got used to it, if you like, then.
Mm.
And the other way, when you had to take your time eating a big load, like this. But again, with age, you got used to it then. You know?
Mm.
Some of the things were horrible, like, you know, but you had them.
Oh.
I'm trying to think of one now that is really horrible. But
tripe? Did you used to eat tripe?
Oh, no, that's one thing I couldn't eat.
No,
I used to call her my mother-in-law, she was Thelma's aunt. She loved tripe. And when we got mad, she'd be bringing it over in the sauce. Thelma would come with all the saucepan over the middle road. Don't give it to me, I said, I can't touch it. That is one thing we never saw it in the house.
Mm.
But well, everybody got through it anyway. That's the main thing.
So what did your father do, did you say? What job did your father do?
My father ended up as a watchman on the electricity.
Mm.
But he spent all his working life in the Elba Tin Pit Works in Port Tennant.
Right.
Heavy work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and why was he doing 6-hour shifts?
Well, that was the policy, I suppose, in those days. You know, doesn't it run 6 to 2, 2 to 10, 10 to 6, force? Well, I asked him that once, and he said that such was the work that it couldn't last 8 hours. Six was so heavy
that
you couldn't last.
Yeah.
You had to, six was, a, you know, and there was no canteens in those days. We used to take a can of tea to work and a tin of sandwiches, but cold tea he was drinking, and not only him, all the others, of course, and no canteen.
Yeah, tiring.
Well, he used to come home absolutely pouring with sweat.
Mm.
Yeah,
I can imagine.
But there we are. Then I demobbed, of course. But in the 50s, plenty of work. Plenty. I went back to where I left in 1939. Well, the money wasn't enough when I got married, of course.
Mm.
I had one job after that. With Rhys and Kirby, the builders in Morriston. I then did another job then with the potteries in the Strand. I had another job then as a caretaker at St. David's School, and I ended up then as a clerk in the National Health and the Superannuation Department. I had five or six jobs. You could walk with one in it the other in the 50s. Yeah. Not now, of course.
No.
But I ended up my last 14 years. I applied for the job and applied when I was 51.
And, it was a good job.
Clerical, I was. Mm-hmm. You used to apply for superannuation, I'd be filling the forms and that sort of.
Yeah.
And, well, I said, I can give you 14 years of good service. Mm-hmm. Well, lucky enough, my sister-in-law was in charge of the superannuation office, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So she must have told, well, yes, we'll give you the job.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, my wife was already working there.
Oh.
So the two of us go down together.
Yeah.
Like
so where was that?
Well, first of all, it was in Singleton Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Then it was in, I can't remember the street, Henrietta Street, in an office there.
Oh, right.
And then we ended up in the buildings opposite the old police station.
Right.
That's where we ended the service.
Yeah. When you said you worked in the potteries and the Strand, tell me about that.
No, you go under the arch in the Strand.
Yeah.
And instead of going straight across there and you turn sharp left,
yeah.
You go up there, that's the potteries. Yeah. And what that was, I told him, that was a concentration camp, the former. In the winter, the horse and cart would come up the river with a big pile of mud. Tip it out to here, I had to go down with a barrow, fill the barrow with mud, put it up to the big wheel that was built in it and keep that wheel wet all the time. Till in the end, in the summer, it was, of course, the stuff was dry. It was going out like dust. You couldn't keep it going.
Mm. And was it clay?
Clay. Well, mud, really. And it turned into clay. It was clay then. Then it went up then, a ladder, up a belt to two men up there, shaping them into bricks then, like that.
Right.
And then they'd go into the kiln then to harden up.
Mm.
But a terrible job. Then I went to, I think I was 52, caretaker at St. David's. Didn't have any staff. A small school, of course. I had to do the wash the windows, clean the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 classrooms, and the two headmasters, woman headmasters. But I used to wait about 6 o'clock in the morning to get, certainly in the winter, to get the boiler going for the children coming in for heat.
Yeah.
But once they went into school at 9, I was free then.
All right. Where is St. David's?
Opposite, do you remember the New York Hotel? Down the bottom by St. Mary's? Do you know where St. Mary's Church? Do you know St. Mary's Church was?
Yes, yeah.
Did you know Salubrious Passage from Wang Street? Right, well, right opposite there. As you come out of Salubrious Passage, the school is over by there.
It's gone now, right?
Pardon?
It's gone now.
Go, all gone. Well, what, that's...
Is it bombed?
Oh, there's a big car pass. All gone there now, see?
Yeah.
Well, the St. David School, I think, is in Green, down West Cross, I think, now.
Mm.
But, so I said, I did the 14 years, and I said, I'm not dying with my boots on. Once I was 65, 1988, I retired.
Mm.
So I've been retired now 29 years.
Yeah, and still loving life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Excuse me for a minute.
Okay.